Good morning. I told my wife last night that if I could have spoken this message last night, I would have, in my opinion, done very well. I was had a restless night, I'll be honest with you. I don't know if other preachers have that, but I've been burdened. About the things that I would like to share this morning. I want to address the audience here first. I am more than likely going to say some things here this morning that may offend. You see, we have a large group here, and there's lots of different needs. There's lots of different approaches that you need from God in order for you to understand the gospel. I think of those in the balcony. And I'm not going to single people out, and I'm not going to generically say this is the case in everyone up there. But there are those, maybe some in the balcony I would use as an example, that would be the last in and the first out. And maybe your attendance here this morning appeases your conscience enough through the week, and you really don't associate with this place, but you're here and you're gone, and you've done what you needed to do for the week. There's those here also that have been here forever, so to speak. When the doors are open in this place, you're here. You're here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Tuesday. You're involved in the Awana. You're involved in the youth group. You're here when the doors are open. Could it be that you're not saved? I'm not here to cast doubt. What this message will do here this morning, it will either affirm your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, or it'll rock you maybe. It will shake you so that you will understand that there is a God in with you whom you have to deal with in a coming day. But I want to tell you the largest burden I have here this morning is for this group right here. Our young people. You know, we're glad you're here. You sit in the front. I want to tell you something. When you sit in the front, everything is seen. And this is what I see oftentimes. I see restlessness. I see unconcern. I see you more concerned about impressing the girl or guy beside you than you are in listening to the preacher. You see, there's all kinds of different needs. There's all kinds of different avenues. Maybe you're here for the very first time. Maybe you're new to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're glad you've come. Because my challenge this morning is to present clearly what it means to be born again. See, I'm no great theologian. You can ask many here. They could tell you. I'm a simple man. I'm a carpenter. But I can claim this verse. These things that are written that I may know that I have eternal life, and it's through Jesus Christ. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he will keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I am on my way to heaven, and I know for sure. You can have that this morning. You see, the gospel is a great equalizer. See, God is not a respecter of persons here this morning. It puts everyone on the same playing field. This is what I vowed. I don't know if it's right or wrong, but this is what I vowed to God last night. I'm going to preach the gospel this morning like I was a dying man. I'm going to preach like this was my very last opportunity to tell someone about Jesus Christ. And I hope that you will think of this as your very last opportunity to hear the good news that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. You know, we are not going to hide the gospel here this morning. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We'll repeat it. There's no new story to tell. It's the same old story from the ages gone by, and it will be for all ages to come. Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. Where are you this morning? We haven't even started the message. I want to apologize for raising my voice. I know I do that. My wife says, don't shout. I've already shouted. But I will make no apologies this morning for telling you the truth. I will make no apologies for standing here and telling you the absolute truth about sin of man, the righteousness of God, and the judgment that you are under if you have never experienced supernaturally. That means something in and of yourself, not of yourself, something that happens outside of yourself. If you have not experienced the salvation that God can provide through His Son, Jesus Christ, then you're in the right place here this morning, because that is what we're going to talk about. I want you to picture, by way of illustration to start the message, I need a bit of box of Kleenex up here because my nose just runs when I'm up here. I don't know why that is, but it does, and I apologize for that. I want you to picture in your mind this morning someone that is very, very dear to you. The dearest person to you. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's your child. Maybe it's your grandmother. I want you to put that person and picture that person in your mind. Are you all there? Okay. That person was brutally murdered. That person was brutally murdered. And they caught the murderer. And he's standing on trial. And you're in the courtroom. And it's the judge and the murderer. And the sentence is going to be placed. Will he go free, or will he pay for that brutal act of murder? And the judge and the courtroom is silent, and you're there, and the verdict comes down, and this is what the judge says. This man has brutally murdered this person in cold blood. But he's done some pretty good things in his life. He actually was involved in the local church at one point in his life. And he had some money. And he did give to the poor on occasion. It's been recorded. And so because of some of the good that this man has done, I am going to acquit him. And you would say, that's not right. That's not right. He killed this person. You see, the biggest problem that you have this morning is that God is good. God is good. That's your biggest problem. You know why? Because you're not. And that creates a major problem. You see, God is going to judge you not for the good that you've done, but God is going to judge you for the bad that you've done. Think about that. Apart from being under the blood of Lord Jesus Christ, apart from being saved from your sins, you will be judged not for the good in your life. You see, we're saved unto good works. And all the good that you do, as much as it may be or not be, you will not be judged for that. You will be judged for the bad in your life. And my Bible tells me all have sinned. All have fallen short of God's perfect glory, his glorious standard. You know what I've been pressed about recently? Is the righteousness of God. God is all right, 100% right. He cannot look upon sin. There's no part of him of sin. He can never sin. And see, that's the problem. The problem is that God is good and you are not. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered to the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. I suspect that you will admit to that you're a sinner. That's my introduction. Here's the text we want to look at this morning. Some of you are familiar with it. I don't have a whole lot of verses. We'll be sharing some throughout the message, but this is the one I want to step off of. And it simply says this: "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." We're not here to promote church membership, by the way. We're glad you're here, but this is just bricks and mortar. There's nothing here in this building that will save you. Your social connection with us won't save you. We're glad you're here, but this isn't a social club. This verse points us to someone. There's only salvation in one person. The perfect person, the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, if you're depending on any of those things, it will damn you. You might say that's pretty hard. It will. You see, because God is righteous. And anything that you think that you can do in reflection of gaining favor with God will only damn you. In the book of Romans, Paul has a list of who you are. And it's not a pretty one. So your social connection here, we're glad you're here. But it will never save you. And you can continue to come to this place. And you can continue on and pretend. You see, I did that on the external. I pretended. I wrote an essay when I was in the Sunday school of this place on Abraham, and I still have it. It's pages, literally. I was diligent. I wrote from Abraham's life and his walk and how God had connected with Abraham and how he would be called the father of all them that believe, and I did a great job. And my Sunday school teacher, unbeknownst to him, addressed me as a young Christian. And he provoked me to good works, and he told me to carry on in my Christian life. And I want to tell you, young people, I was there. And I was no more saved. I was lost. I was lost in my sin. And I was on my way to hell. And if you think that hell was made by Satan, you're wrong. God controls the keys of hell. And the bottomless pit, and the lake of fire. It's God who is Lord. They say, make him Lord of your life. He is Lord today over all creation. And that Lord who is King will either be your judge or your Savior in a coming day. You see, you need a supernatural experience, an out-of-body experience. You see, salvation's of God. I am so more convinced of that today than I ever was. Because you know why? I only have to look into my own heart And apart from Jesus Christ, I am a vile person. And it doesn't get any easier, does it, Christian, to put down that old nature? Thanks be to God that I am promised a new body and a home in heaven and a change, complete change. But salvation's of God. And you need a supernatural. You need something to happen in your life that will change you. There's a story told of a man, a businessman. And he had a lot of pressure on him. He had a big job. And he got up one Monday morning, and he had been a little negligent working the weekend, which he typically did. And he had a lot on his brain, a lot of things going on. He had a report to have done, and he had to meet with a bunch of vice presidents of a number of different companies. He had a big job. He was under a lot of pressure. And as he goes out of his house and into the garage, his wife asks him this, "Honey, can you take out the garbage?" He says, "Do you not understand the pressure I'm underneath? I'm providing. I've got a big day. You take out the garbage. I am busy. I've got lots on my plate today." And he goes out and gets in his car and he drives to his office, feeling justified. She had time. He didn't have time. 3 months later, this man gets converted, has an experience with the God of heaven, understand that he's a sinner, and he trusts Jesus Christ as a Savior. And the exact same thing happens. He didn't work the weekend. It's busy. He's got a lot of pressure on him. And as he's going out the door, his wife says, "Honey, can you take out the garbage?" You know what he does? He reacts the exact same way. And he says, "Honey, do you not understand the pressures that I have?" And he goes out, and he jumps in his car, and he drives to his office. And you know what? He's miserable. He's miserable. He knows he's done wrong. He knows that he's offended his wife. He was rude to her. He treated her unkindly. What's the difference? Sometimes we have the externals the same, don't we? Unfortunately. What happened in that man? It happened from inside. He had a consciousness of sin. He understood that he had wronged his wife. That's what salvation is. It works from the inside out. You may have all the externals here this morning. You might have it all. And you might fool everyone. But do you know him? Or better question than that, does he know you? Because that's what salvation is. God reaches down and he has a relationship. When you've trusted him, he is known of you and you are known of him. I might be corrected on some things here today, and please do, you that are grown in the faith more than me. But salvation is a relationship between you and God, and it's something that you experience. You don't get it at camp by reading some card and making some prayer. If you're depending on a prayer, likely you're not saved. If you're depending on years of going to youth group and listening to the leaders and doing good, and if that's what you're relying on, chances are you're not saved. Have you ever come into a relationship where, do you ever have a Christian where you just burst out in worship? Are you a worshiper, young people? Do you worship the one? Does it just come out from within sometimes and say, "Oh God, thank you for saving me. I was deserving of hell, and you reached down and you plucked me as a brand from hell." We're never going to get through this outline, I'll tell you that right now. I'm on the first page, I have 7 of them. Oh my sake. "Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." There's a call here this morning. Yeah, it's universal, but it can be personal. So I basically broke this verse down into 4 absolutely simple thoughts. You can understand them. I know you can. Look means turn toward. To who? Understand the command. Be ye saved. I want to tell you, it's 100% necessary to get to heaven. You have to be saved. Who is the giver? The verse says, for I am God. And the fourth point, determine the way. And he says, and there is none else. It doesn't matter what walk of life you've come from. Put away all preconceived ideas of what it means to know for sure heaven. Throw them aside. This verse tells me that I am God and there is none else. See, salvation by definition is a work of God for individuals that happens in the heart, resulting in saving a person from the guilt and penalty of sin. There's a lot there, isn't there? Another definition of salvation. Spiritual and eternal deliverance granted immediately by God to those who accept his conditions of repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom alone it is obtained. I didn't make those verses up. I looked them up in Vines and I believe another Bible dictionary, but I believe them to be true. I believe they're supported by the Word of God. Look. See, there's very little required of you this morning because you have nothing to offer God. You have nothing to offer Him. You're bankrupt. The bank account's empty. You've got a holy, just God who is the creator of heaven and earth. And you've got men and women, boys and girls, that are not holy. You've got nothing to offer God. You're bankrupt. Absolutely nothing. Your works are as filthy rags in His sight. This side of the Lord Jesus Christ. Consider, direct your attention toward the one called the Lord Jesus Christ. More specifically, we want to turn your attention to the cross. See, that's when God came to man. He reached down. We heard the Christmas story last week, but the incarnation about this one who was the creator came and put himself into a baby form. He could not sin. I was talking to Travis this morning. We talked about that. He could not sin. He was never a sinner. He was never able to sin. He was a perfect baby. And for 30 years, we hear nothing of his life. He walked amongst men and women, just like you and I. But in the last 3 years, there was a focus, wasn't there? And what was that focus toward? We read in the Old Testament, all the blood sacrifices pointed toward this one called the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the New Testament, the New Covenant. That's where we want to direct your attention to this morning. This one place called Calvary, where God's Son, the God-man, I want to tell you this morning, young people, old people, everyone in the balcony, He bore your sin on Calvary's cross. He took the judgment that you deserved. He was punished for your sins and for mine. That's what the gospel is. It's great news because the just and the justifier of them, that's who He is. He's the justifier of the ungodly. You're ungodly. I was ungodly, but now I'm on the other side where I've put my faith in Him. And now the righteousness of His Son, I'm in behind that. I'm covered in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And He's my Savior. And He has secured a place for me in heaven. And I just understood simply that, that Christ died for me. You see, it was the greatest display of love that ever happened and ever will happen. See, we're not asking you to do anything this morning. I'm not asking you to sign a card, and I certainly am not asking you to come up here. No altar calls. I'm not asking you to come up to the front. That won't save you. Christ will save you. It happens inside. You could come up here, and that's external. Salvation happens with you and God in your heart. I would present this morning to you that in the year 2014, December 27th, that the only association that you have with the cross and crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ is that of rejection of the Savior. It took me 6 times to write that out. I wanted to word it right. It's my own thoughts. Correct me if I'm wrong. If you're not saved here this morning, let me read this again. I would present this morning to you that in the year 2014, December 27th, that the only association that you have with the cross and crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ is that of rejection of the Savior, even though it happened 2,000 years ago. But it can change. There's good news. That can change. I'm associated with the cross. And I understood that He's my Savior. He paid the penalty for me. And my association with Him now is as my Savior, not my judge. The Christian could say this, God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what that means? Let me paraphrase it. I have nothing to boast about. I didn't get there on my own merits. The only hope I have is that Jesus Christ died for me. You see, this is where all the religions of the world go wrong. This isn't the only place, by the way, where the truth is expressed. We don't have a corner on the market. This is just walls, like I said, just walls. It's bricks and mortar. But there are many buildings and places where people take the platform and preach a false gospel. There's gospels out there that say, if you do well, you'll get there. There's actually gospels out there that now that say that if you just give God your life, you'll be prosperous. My Bible tells me that the Christian walk is one of suffering and sacrifice. It's not easy, but the rewards are grand. He planned it in eternity past. He accomplished it in the death and burial of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He secured it by raising His Son from the dead. That's our hope. If there was no resurrection, we would have no hope. You see, the one that died on Calvary's cross, if you were here this morning, you enjoyed the fact of the fact that Jesus Christ is risen. And He has established peace, isn't He, brother? He has established peace between God and man. Do you have that peace? Can you say concretely this morning in your heart, I know whom I have believed? People up on the balcony, can you say it? I know whom I have believed. Here's your part. There's only one condition. Believe. I did it. You know what believe means? I attribute my own salvation experience like this. I strove hard. I could remember as a teenager And I didn't get saved until I was 21. I can remember it as a teenager. As my brothers and sisters would be swimming in a lake, I can remember sitting in a car and weeping and crying and saying, God, save me. Please save me. I can remember that very clearly. I can remember my older brother on his knees, literally for days and weeks on end. Every night I'd go into his room and he'd be pleading with God, God, save me. Please save me. You know what? I think we had it wrong. I'm not saying that our hearts weren't right, but I think we were misguided. Because you know what? My Bible tells me all I had to do was just rest. Forget about all the pleading. Just rest. Rest in the finished work. He's done it all. I just want to rest in it. And you know what? The lights will come on. And you'll be translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. It's resting. Put away all your morality. It means nothing to God. He's righteous. Put away every preconceived thought of how it is to get to heaven and just rest in the fact that Jesus Christ is the lover of your soul and he bore your punishment so that you could be set free. I can't say it any simpler. Wow, we did get to the end, I think. The gate is straight and the way is narrow. It's an exclusive gospel. I will say this. This is the only way. This is the only way. On the authority of God's word, this is the only way to be sure of heaven. There is many ways. There are many ways in which man thinks to get to heaven. But Jesus himself, when he walked on planet earth, before he died on Calvary's cross, he said these words. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. I hope I've been clear. Forgive me for shouting. I had one of these sticky notes that says, John, don't shout, and I did. But I want to tell you, I don't care about anything else. You need to know that God loves you. God is love, but he's just. And I could care less if I ever spoke another message. But I want to be assured that you know the truth this morning. Jesus Christ died for you. He loves you more than you'll ever know. And he wants to put you in a place called heaven. But he cannot do that because he is apart from sin. You have sin. You know you have sin. I know I have sin. There's a way of escape. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved. Look unto him this morning. I can't save you. I'll talk with you. I'll show you some verses. I can't save you. It's between you and God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are so grateful that the Lord Jesus Christ loved us, that you loved us, that you had a plan before we were even born. You knew we would fail. You knew we would sin. Who could have devised a plan such as this? It's really a mystery to us in a lot of ways. And yet, Father, the transforming power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ can change our way of thinking. It can change our lives. It can change who we are. It can put our feet on the right path. It can secure a place in heaven. And we're thankful it's nothing to do with us. It's all to do with Him. Oh, Father, may it establish those in the faith. May it rock those that are not in the faith to trust You. May they have no rest. Father, we don't want them to have rest. We don't want people to get comfortable in our gatherings who have not trusted Jesus Christ. We want them saved. You want them saved. You're not willing that any should perish. So, Father, we trust that Your word would speak to hearts this morning. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I wonder if we could sing a hymn together in closing. Hymn number 310. My hope is found in nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but only wholly lean on Jesus' name. The meeting is over. Thank you for coming.